content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Pat Perry for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the News and Observer. Today's stories include: market experts say stocks likely to continue bull run in 2021. And Google workers form labor union, a rarity in tech. And we'll begin with a survey. Market experts say stocks likely to continue bull run in 2021. With the stock market near all-time highs, investors have enjoyed a solid run in 2020, even with some major bumps along the way. Higher government spending and near-zero interest rates have cushioned the economic blow of the COVID-19 crisis and boosted investors' optimism. Despite the run higher, Bankrate's fourth-quarter market Mavens survey of top analysts reveals that stocks are expected to climb nearly 9% in 2021, about in line with historical returns. These market watchers have become somewhat more optimistic than they were in Bankrate's third quarter survey, when they expected stocks to rally by about 7.5% over the next 12 months. A sustained market rally, the resolution of uncertainty around American elections, and the advent of COVID-19 vaccines seems to have made a brighter outlook more feasible. After a year like none other, it is natural and even appropriate to expect that 2021 should mark a return to normal as vaccines are more widely administered, said Mark Hamrick, Bankrate's senior economic analyst. Bankrate's survey asked the 10 experts where the market would go in the next 5 years, where the 10-year Treasury would be in a year, and whether U.S. stocks are a better bet than global stocks. The survey also queried them on whether the market was accurately pricing inflation and whether they saw a disconnect between Main Street and Wall Street. Key takeaways: experts see the S&P 500 climbing 8.9% in 2021. Stock returns are expected to be average or above average over the next 5 years. Market watchers are divided on U.S. stocks versus global stocks, but prefer value stocks. Analysts expect the 10-year Treasury yield to rise to 1.2% in 2021. Most survey responders think the market is accurately gauging near-term inflation. Many experts see a disconnect between Wall Street and Main Street. The S&P 500 forecast: experts see a rise of 8.9%. After the market's performance in 2020, the finance pros were notably upbeat about the Standard & Poor's 500 index over the next 12 months, expecting the index to climb 8.9%. From the index's close at 3,722.48, at the end of the survey period, the average analyst expects the S&P 500 to close next year at a price of 4,053. The estimates ranged from 3,699 to 4,225, with only one analyst expecting the market to fall, and then only modestly. The expected rise sits in line with the market's long-term average annual return of about 10%. We don't know how much of the so-called reopening is already priced into stocks, said Hamrick. Both over the next year and in succeeding years, the safest bet among market pros is to say things will be more typical than what we've recently experienced. Survey respondents have become upbeat about the forward 12 months after the market's plunge early in the year. While the first quarter survey showed analysts expected a 22% gain, second quarter results showed a noticeably downbeat 1% estimate. Expectations bounded higher in the third quarter survey to 7.5% forecast over the next 12 months. Analysts more optimistic about markets' five-year returns. Similar to how they've ratcheted up their return expectations over the next 12 months, survey respondents are also more bullish on the market's prospects over the next 5 years. 40% of participants expect stocks will perform in line with historical averages. 30% said stocks would perform higher than average. The remaining 30% figure that stocks will perform below their long-term average. It's the first time this year that a plurality of our analysts expected stock returns to be in line with history. And to frame the results another way, 70% of the analysts expected stocks to perform at their long-run average or better. As the year has marched on and the stocks marched higher, the number of bearish analysts in bank rate surveys declined from 61% in the second quarter to 30% in the latest survey. Conversely, the number of respondents expecting average and above trend results has climbed in successive quarters. And for more perspective, in the 2020 first quarter survey, 75% of respondents expected above average growth for the next 5 years. The survey respondents pointed to a few main reasons for their bullishness. Central banks supplying liquidity point to real assets and equities outperforming, said Kim Forrest, Chief Investment Officer, Bokeh Capital Partners in Pittsburgh. The low interest rates that companies are currently assessing in the marketplace will fuel higher margins and better earnings growth than markets are currently anticipating, said Wayne Wicker, Chief Investment Officer, Vantage Point Investment Advisors in Washington, D.C. Others are less optimistic about stocks, especially over the near term, and expect a choppy ride. The volatility over the next 12 to 24 months may not result in much progress for equities. This will bring down the five-year numbers, said Chuck Self, Chief Investment Officer, iSectors, an ETF strategist based in Appleton, Wisconsin. He expects five-year returns to be lower than normal. Wicker sees near-term choppiness as well, but experts above-trend growth from equities. While short-term volatility has the potential to register shorter-term losses, the long-term trend will be higher, he says. Investors shouldn't get too caught up in timing these forecasts, however, lest they miss the longer-term move higher in stocks. Stocks still have an enviable track record of return, so even below-trend growth may still be much better than what investors can find elsewhere. For those investing for retirement, the approach should be something akin to slow and steady wins the race, said Hamrick. Bank rate surveys have consistently found failure to save for retirement ranks among top financial regrets among individuals. The way to avoid that sad outcome is to be focused and methodical with long-term savings and investing, including by participating in an employer-provided 401k when possible. Experts split on whether U.S. or global stocks would perform better. The analysts surveyed by Bankrate were largely divided on whether U.S. stocks or global stocks were likely to outperform over the next year. However, a slight plurality favored global stocks. 40% of participants favored global stocks. 30% favored U.S. equities. 30% said they expected returns to be about the same. For context, in the third quarter survey, experts favored global stocks while they were evenly divided in the second quarter. U.S. stocks were the strong favorite in the first quarter results. However, when discussing the performance of growth stocks relative to value stocks, analysts decidedly expected value stocks to outperform growth. In fact, growth stocks didn't get a single vote in the fourth quarter survey. Half of the survey's respondents believe value stocks are more likely to provide greater returns over the next year, while the other half expects growth and value stocks to fare about the same. Previously, growth was favored in all three of this year's earlier surveys, but the proportion of analysts favoring value stocks has climbed in the last few quarters. Value should being the operative word, outperform growth if the U.S. economy performs according to a script based on the success of vaccination efforts, said Patrick J. O'Hare, Briefing.com chief market analyst. Value should improve on the reopening trade, but embedded secular growth trends are likely still intact, says Eli Powell Nepocki, Chief Investment Officer, Berman Capital Advisors in Atlanta. Nepocki expects the returns of growth and value stocks to be in line. And given the strong performance of growth stocks this year, many of the big techs, names such as Amazon, Apple, and Microsoft drove the S&P 500 higher in 2020. It may be time for value stocks to outperform for a bit. The relative percentage of growth's outperformance is unsustainable, said Sam Stovall, chief investment strategist at CFRA Research in New York City. Stovall is expecting value to perform better. There is a lot of pent-up consumer demand that will be ready to be spent if there is a reopening next year, said David Wagner, CFA portfolio manager, Aptus Capital Advisors in Fairhope, Alaska. Wagner expects value stocks to outperform. Consumer savings are $1 trillion higher than where they were at this time last year, thanks to the stimulus, he says, and that should power the economy if all goes well. If this capital is released, you can continue to see some type of cyclical rally which benefits a value tilt. Analysts expect 10-year Treasury yields to climb. Treasury yields plummeted earlier this year as the Federal Reserve slashed interest rates to near zero and investors raced to the safety of treasuries, driving down their yields. The Fed has promised to stick to its near zero rate policy until at least 2024. But how will rates on the 10-year note fare over the coming year? Our analysts expect rates to perk up, though not substantially on average. The survey's consensus estimate for the 10-year Treasury yield over the coming year is 1.2%, compared with 0.94%, where it stood at the end of the survey period. Estimates ranged from 0.9% to 1.75%, though 7 of 10 analysts see the yield hitting at least 1%. For comparison, in Bankrate's third quarter survey, analysts expected the 10-year yield to be at 0.87% 1 year out, while the second quarter survey had a nearly identical 0.86 estimate. Meanwhile, first quarter estimates were 1.39%. Most agree with the market's expectation about inflation. Bankrate threw out some wild card questions to survey participants and asked them about their expectations for inflation over the next 12 to 18 months. Did they think the market was pricing inflation properly, underpricing it, or overpricing it? Analysts were largely in agreement that the market was pricing inflation correctly. 70% say the market is factoring in inflation about right. 20% say the market is underpricing inflation. And 10% say the market is overpricing inflation. O'Hare figures the market is underpricing the risk of inflation after inflation has been under target for the better part of the last decade. Money supply has increased tremendously and is at the ready to be deployed in a recovering economy that should feature the unleashing of pent-up demand for goods and particularly services in a services-driven economy that is powered by consumer spending, he says. Scott Clemens, Chief Investment Strategist Brown Brothers Harriman, thinks the market is underpricing the chance of inflation. The combination of deficit spending and Fed balance sheet expansion are ultimately inflationary, although that risk is not likely to materialize until economies and end demand recover. Others expect the low inflation trend of the last 10 years to continue. Monetary stimulus has kept the economy alive, but has been ineffective at sparking even a little inflation, said Michael K. Farr, CEO of Farr Miller in Washington, LLC in Washington, D.C. Just one analyst, Kim Forrest, figures the market is overpricing the risk of inflation. Employment and rising wages enable inflation, she says. I don't see either of these things if the Biden administration is Obama 2.0, which is what it looks like right now. Many see disconnect between Wall Street and Main Street. Bankrate's second wildcard question focused on a perceived disconnect between Wall Street and Main Street and whether these experts think that it exists. There's been a lot of focus in recent months on the so-called disconnect between Main Street and Wall Street, said Hamrick, with about half of households suffering a decline in income this past year. The pandemic has claimed tolls in lives and personal finances. Despite widespread job loss, especially in certain industries such as hospitality and leisure, the stock market seems to have shrugged off the bad news and has risen to new all-time highs. At the same time, many investors have been looking past the current situation to better times ahead, said Hamrick. The pandemic has forced rapid innovation and change, even amid the challenges accelerating the sorting out of winners and losers. The survey revealed that 60% of respondents believe there is a disconnect between the two, while the remaining 40% said they don't see a disconnect. While there appears to be a significant difference between the capital markets and the economy, the current environment reflects the forward-looking mechanism of equity markets, said Wicker, who does not think there's a disconnect. Unlike traditional recessionary environments, investors recognize that the drivers of the current situation are in the process of reversing as we get a vaccine into global populations, he said. This explains the significant resumption of prices in many sectors such as consumer discretionary and financial service companies. Clemens agrees, saying, "We saw the same disconnect coming out of the global financial crisis in 2009. But others point out how much individuals and small businesses are suffering. The major indices are at record highs. There are more than 20 million people claiming some form of unemployment benefits," said O'Hare. Enough said. Wagner thinks that there is a disconnect and says that small businesses need capital to stay afloat, and adds that the labor market is more dire than what the market is factoring in. Although the market is forward-looking, many issues need to be sorted out before the economy is running at full bore again, with full employment and take-home pay rising to pre-crisis levels. Next, Google workers form labor union, a rarity in tech. A group of Google engineers and other workers announced Monday that they have formed a union, creating a rare foothold for the labor movement in the tech industry. About 225 employees at Google and its parent company, Alphabet, are the first dues-paying members of the Alphabet Workers Union. They represent a fraction of Alphabet's workforce, far short of the threshold needed to get formal recognition as a collective bargaining group in the U.S. But the new union, which will be affiliated with the larger Communication Workers of America, says it will serve as a structure that ensures Google workers can actively push for real changes at the company. Its members say they want more of a voice, not just on wages, benefits, and protections against discrimination and harassment, but also broader ethical questions about how Google pursues its business ventures. Google said Monday that it's tried to create a supportive and rewarding workplace, but suggested it won't be negotiating directly with the union. "Of course, our employees have protected labor rights that we support," said a statement from Kara Silverstein, the company's director of people operations. "But as we've always done, we'll continue engaging directly with all our employees." Unionization campaigns haven't historically been able to gain much traction among elite tech workers who earn big salaries and other perks like free food and shuttle rides to work. But workplace activism at Google and other big tech firms has grown in recent years as employers call for better handling of workplace sexual harassment and discrimination, opposition to Trump administration policies, and avoiding harmful uses of the products they're helping to build and sell. Google software engineer Chewy Shaw, who has been elected to the new union's executive council, said he and others decided to form the group after seeing colleagues pushed out of the company for their activism. "We want to have a counter force to protect workers who are speaking up," Shaw said. The union's first members include engineers as well as sales associates, administrative assistants, and the workers who test self-driving vehicles at Alphabet Automotive Division, Waymo. Many work at Google's Silicon Valley headquarters, while others are at offices in Massachusetts, New York, and Colorado. One of the reasons why it's taken a while for workers to get to this point is because the leaders of these companies did a good job of convincing workers that they were these benevolent folks who were going to provide for them, kind of a paternalistic model, said Beth Allen, communications director at the CWA. That got them a long way, Allen said, but workers have increasingly realized they need to come together and build power for themselves and have a voice in what's going on. The National Labor Relations Board typically recognizes petitions to form new unions when they get interest from at least 30% of employees in a given location or job classification in the U.S. A majority of affected workers must then vote to form one. Alphabet has a global workforce of roughly 120,000. Next, Epic Games purchased Shift Sports Plan for Carytown Center. On Sunday, the struggling mall, Carytown Center, was purchased by video game maker Epic Games, which plans to build headquarters there by 2024. The town of Cary says it remains committed to building a $193 million sports complex that was planned on part of the Carytown Center property. The sports complex was part of a planned redevelopment of the mall that was proposed last year. However, that proposed redevelopment is now dead because of the sale. The complex's indoor sports arena was envisioned as a way to attract more youth sports tournaments to the area and provide other amenities to residents. The whole complex will receive $35 million of taxpayer money set aside to promote tourism in Wake County. For its part, Epic Games said it promises to work with Cary on its plans. We are working closely with the town of Cary in their efforts to build the Cary Community Recreation and Sports Center and hope to have more to share on this soon, Epic Games spokeswoman Elka Look said in an email to the News and Observer. Susan Morin, chief strategy officer for the town, added that Cary is working with the company to see how the community's plans can be integrated into the overall project. Beyond the rec center, Morin said in an email, we haven't talked specifically about other opportunities for recreational land use. Epic's move to buy the mall property happened rather quickly. In October, the site's former ownership finalized plans for a mixed-use development that was approved by the town. Cary Mayor Harold Weinbrick said in an interview that he didn't even know the sale to Epic was a possibility until December. We have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I'm Pat Perry, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.